thank you again and again and again and again, Lord. Every time we utter the words thank you, it again reminds us there's so much more. I have not seen, ear has not heard, and has not entered into the hearts of any. That which you have in store, that which you will deliver, that which is on demand for those who love you and are called according to purpose. And so God, focus us again, make us to remember, bring us to a place that we are resolute in our decision to go all the way. And God, we thank you for holding our hands. Even when we wrestled and tried to break free, you were unyielding. And so God, for that, we do indeed owe you much gratitude. And God, we're asking now again that you would open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready to receive. Lord, speak to us.
Father.
Meet us in our several places and bring us up together. And we are reminded and I'm quite sure we cannot go until you come. So, Lord, when you come, take us with you. Don't leave us behind. We desire kingdom life, and we know that life is in you. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray and ask these things. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, bless God together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 9, if you will, and I've got only a few minutes of your time left. The choir has taken up far more time than they were supposed to. And the ushers didn't get people seated quick enough. All manner of things are against me, but I'll work with you if you work with me. Amen. Luke chapter 9, it's 12:30. Foolishness is just ungodly. Nobody should leave God's church that early. Amen. Luke 9, I'm going to lift up a verse, and I'm going to talk about the following verses in the preaching moment, but for the sake of a little clarity, I just want to lift up a verse, and that is verse 23. From the New Living Translation, here's what we won't talk about. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. God bless you. You may be seated. On your way to your seat, if you can muster up a little joy and a smile and look at your neighbor and remind your neighbor that the pastor is going to preach, so you say you've surrendered. Amen. Talk about thought. So you say you've surrendered. Again, ushers, thank you so very much, and God bless each and every one of you. He said to the crowd, if you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross daily and follow me. I've always found it, says Scott, rather curious that even early in Jesus' ministry, he was able to draw crowds. You would always find people flocking to Jesus. And it's early in the ministry. This happened from the time we are first introduced to him in his mother's womb. In fact, you found people coming to Jesus. Not even born yet, not here, on the way, but people are coming. And throughout the course of his ministry, from the time that the dove descends upon him, and from the time that John identifies him, and Peter, Andrew, James, John, from the time he is here, there are always folk trying to get to him. There are several examples. I mentioned just a few of them already, but they wanted to hang out with him. And some of us can relate to that. Some of us are just the party kind of people. Some of us just have folk who love us, just like being around us. They don't necessarily need anything or want anything, but they just, oh, y'all ain't got nobody like that. Okay. People around y'all want something. Okay, I got you. Well, y'all need to change y'all crowd. But they came, and I've always found that curious, because please understand, Jesus does not look like the pictures y'all buy. You know, Jesus didn't have a fine perm and perfect skin, proactive skin, you know, and that kind of stuff. Jesus didn't walk around with the perfectly adorned gentleman's quarterly outfit. He looked like everybody else. It is noteworthy that God chose to send him like us, like him. Okay, let me fix it for you. Because in Genesis, it says we were created in the image and likeness of God. And so when Jesus comes, he's not going to try to look different. He's not going to come with this big halo over his head and walking with a fine staff and a fine goblet, gold and that kind of thing. He just looked like us. Just your average, ordinary Joe. There's a song, it says, what if God is one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just an ordinary guy. And that's really how he is. That's why he was so astonishingly effective. Because they looked at him and said, but we know you. We know your people. You know, that's what they said. They gave him the hood version. They said, we know your mama name. We know what part of town you're from. There's nothing extraordinary about you. But how is it you can do what you do? Amen. And some of y'all, you ought to get inspired that's what you really want people to say about you. You really want people to say of you, how is it? In fact, some of y'all, that's y'all testimony. Y'all just hadn't told anybody. You have done some extraordinary things just being you. Oh, come on now. Some of you have been through hard times, trials, tribulation, and like the new church cliche, you don't look like what you've been through. Give your neighbor a low five and tell me, I know that's right. I keep my business to myself, but I've been through some stuff. But I've also seen the power of God in my life. Yeah, God has used me in a whole lot of ways, and I just ain't say nothing. But Jesus drew crowds, and they followed him. In fact, there is, James, an illustration when Jesus was in Capernaum and talks about him going by this fellow's house, hanging out, and some say it was Peter's house, and they're hanging out, and crowds just showed up. I don't know about y'all, but can I make personal here? Jesus can come to my house, but y'all can't. Just saying. Jesus come to my house. There ain't no excuse for all y'all to just show up. Just cry. And look, this is one of those one of those moments where I think exclusivity ought to have its rule. Jesus came to that man's house, and people just start showing up, coming in, crowding out the place. And the Bible says it was so many of them, you couldn't even get past the door. Now, that's too many people in your house. Say amen, somebody. You got that many people, you can't even do the ooh-ooh thing because it's just everywhere. And the Bible says, watch this now, the Bible says it was just noised about. In other words, the word got out that Jesus was over Rep house, and people thought they could just show up like that. Amen. Look at the name and say, not like that. Some of y'all know how it is. Some of y'all know people show up at your house uninvited. You be all out the curtain. Got the kids on lush. What are they doing here? You call your husband, Larry, we having something? No, I don't know. Shh. But crowd. And really, really, I'd like to see the church go off like that. I'd like to see the church where, because people know that Jesus is with us, they just show up. I love to have fire marshal come by and say, y'all got too many people in here.
Rem, I know you're in the overflow area. They're down there looking at the big screen and all that, but y'all got too many people in here. Rather than having the fire marshal stop by and go, what, ain't nobody here? People show up. Then another time, Bible said that Jesus was moving through Galilee and Jerusalem and all of the outer coast, and folk just kept showing up. Y'all don't see the setup, do you? Folk just kept showing up. And then in Luke's gospel, Luke says, every morning when Jesus and the fellows got up and went to the temple, large crowds gathered because he was there. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, I told him it wasn't about you. They came because of Jesus. So here it is. Coco, here it is. It's kind of sad. It really is kind of sad that don't happen in the church we go to. That crowds are not gathering every time it's noised about that Jesus is in the house. It's kind of sad that every time we mention his name, folk don't stop their unnecessary business to get about the business of the Lord. It's kind of sad. It really is kind of sad that the simple fact is that Jesus obviously has not changed his mind about meeting us, but we've changed our mind about meeting him. We call him when we want. You know that old song we sing, harmony music people, you know, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I think you ought to reverse that. Because the truth is, when he calls, we don't come when he calls us. And we rarely ever on time. Y'all ain't talking to me. But here it is. Here it is. Jesus comes. And in this instance, I'm there. Sandra, write it down. He has proven yet again that he's worth our attention. Can I do a quick survey and ask a silly question? Rather silly question. Now, seeing how I said feats, I can ask a silly question. And obviously, I ain't too bright. I mean, I can't get that description, you know. But is there anybody here that still has an interest in Jesus? Okay, you'd be amazed some people didn't vote. I'm serious now. Another silly question. I'm trying to hurry. Quarter till. Jesus drew crowds before Calvary. I don't understand why he can't draw a crowd after Calvary. Because here it is, because before Calvary, it was really about the fish and the loaves and the water and the wine and the deaf and the blind and the crippled and the lame. But after Calvary, it's about life and never die. It's about, y'all ain't talking to me. Because he's a greater Jesus after Calvary than he ever was before Calvary. Because what he was doing before Calvary, even Jesus says other folk can do this. But grandma was right when she said, can't nobody do me. Y'all ain't talking to me. If they followed him because of the fish and the loaves, I think we ought to follow him because of the life and the resurrection. I think we ought to blow him up. Because he is a risen king. Jesus has been mighty good to us. He says a couple of things, and I'll be done. He said a couple of things. He says, Sandra, come unto me. And they came. He says, eat of me. They ate. You shouldn't leave immediately after the supper. That's just rude. He says, show me where it hurts. And he healed them. He said, can you hear me now? And he unstopped their ears. He said, show me. And he did something with all that he saw. And yet, in our surrendered state of mind, we do not come after Jesus. I mean, healing, trial, storms, stay with me. Bible said this, if you let him in, he'll stay a while. So many of us got Jesus standing out on the stoop, checking him out, rather than just say, come on in. And when you let him in, he ought to stay a while. But when he come to your house ought to become his house. Amen. Your stuff ought to become his stuff. You know, you sing all day, I surrender all. You can't sing that if you can't say that. Here it is. He says, come. And they come. He says, what do you need? And he said, I'll give it to you. He heals. He redeems. He's a most noteworthy Savior. You got to surrender, though. And so here's what he says. He says, Melvin, he says, if you really want to be with me, here's what you need to do. Nudge your neighbor and say, here it is. Now I'll make it simple because I'm running out of time, so I'll rush through these, and I'll come by the house later, and we can talk about them. But bring food. Here it is. So you said you surrender. Let me try this. I'm going to hurry. Let me try this. Everybody, notice I'm just looking at you. You have a friendly face. We both in the same club now. No, you got some on the side. Larry, you and I in the same club. Same club now. We're members of a fraternity, the Royal Order of Domeness or something like that. And Sister Walker, that's just not necessary. But here it is. You holding on, I let go. So I need to know how many of you, now pay attention right along through here, how many of you are willing to say by show of hands that you've surrendered? Some of y'all didn't hear me. Oh, okay, you being honest. All right, good. See, because that's what the sermon is. The sermon is, so you say you've surrendered. By the time I finish, some of y'all ought to be able to show you've surrendered. Y'all ain't talking to me. We fell out of love that fast. You say you've surrendered, but you ought to be living now showing you've surrendered. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Here's what Jesus said, Jesse. Jesus says, okay. So, right here in the text, he talks about dying. They're getting used to that. It's winding up. And this is what he said, Rudy. He says, all right. Here's the crowd. There they are again. Standing room only. Everybody leaning in. And so Jesus says, all right, says, I told y'all I'm going to die. Let me see what I'm dying for. It's right in the text. He says, I'm going to die. Son of man must suffer many things at the hands of people, see, rejected by leaders. Mm-hmm, got that right in the text. Led away. I will be killed. No, notice now, he said, y'all, they're going to kill me. He gonna lay it down for him. He gonna make it easy because they could have sticks and stone and nothing would have happened. He said, but in 3 days, we'll be raised. Now, no, let me tell you something. This is a free one. You know, Jesus didn't get himself up. His daddy got him up. Jesus recognized that this is my Father's operation. It's right. He said, I will be raised. He didn't say, I'm just going to pop up. I will be raised. In other words, my daddy going to call me and said, you slept enough. Let's go. And there's work yet to be done. See, some of y'all done lost me. You gone. Jesus accepts the fact that I can do nothing without him. You need to accept the fact that you can do nothing without them. So he said, I'm going to die, but So now, as they're just standing around scratching their head, going, he said, let me see what I'm dying for. And make sure you know what I'm dying for. So he says to the crowd, if you really want to be a disciple, a follower, you're going to have to do some things. Okay, I got 3 minutes. You got to do some things. I'll tell you what they are. Won't talk much about them. And then we'll go on about our business. Y'all don't believe me, do you? I'm really trying to make this 1 o'clock thing work. I feel like Dougie Fresh. 6 minutes. All right, first thing. So you say, I did survey. I didn't turn around and see what Jonathan said, but I did survey, and I didn't see what you said either. That's okay, your hand. Okay, good. I caught you in the peripheral. Audrey, you always in. You still got it, Audrey. You still can get them notes. You did all right there. So you say, I asked a question, and so about 93.2% of y'all said you surrendered. Let me help you other 7% people get across. There are three things you need to do to really prove you've surrendered. First thing, James, you need to loose some things and leave some things. I wish I had enough time. Second thing, Sandra, just so y'all have them, I'm not going to get into them. The second thing you need to do, and this is critical, you need to listen and learn. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me slide down to the last one. And then the third thing you need to do is learn how to love him and be loyal to him. Y'all got that? And if you get those three right, here's the bonus. He will let you live for all eternity.
Yes, he will.
Now see that deserves, Amanda, a free shout, because you do know you gonna die.
Amen.
But if you die surrendered, you wake up and live again.
Amen.
If you die unsurrendered, you wake up and die again. Okay. So loose and leave, James is saying, well, why did you look at me when you said loose and leave? Well, I thought you'd understand it, because that's what's wrong with some of us, why we can't surrender. We're holding on to stuff, and we're stuck in places we should have left long time ago. Notice what he said. Now, here it is. I'm trying to hurry. He said, if you're going to be my follower, you're going to have to loose some stuff and leave. You can't follow me and stay there. You can't carry my burden. Okay, here it is. Y'all missed it. Jesus said, you're going to have to pick up your cross daily. Reason why some of y'all can't carry no cross, because you carry too much junk. Y'all ain't talking to me. Don't be rolling your eyes at me with that attitude. You got to lose some stuff and then leave some stuff. You can't keep going back to vomit and don't think you're going to smell like that. You can't keep hanging in the shine house and don't think, y'all ain't talking to me. Jesus said, if you want this, you got to do this. Loose it. You dragging, shagging, and wonder why you carrying too much stuff. Jesus getting ready to send the disciples out. He said, don't carry nothing. No bag, no script, no luggage, no Samsonite, no American Tourister. You need nothing if you're going to do my work. And that's our problem. We on the chitlin' circuit. Worrying about where we going to eat, where we going to sleep, what we going to drive. Your car is not a reflection of you. What you drive don't make you no better. Where you live don't say nothing. Y'all ain't talking to me. Our problem is we are holding on to worldly and carnal stuff. And there is no room for the cross. Okay, that's quiet. It's a lecture. This is no lecture. This is a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know you're carrying too much stuff. You weighed down. Vicissitudes of life. You are struggling with stuff you ain't got no business connected to. And you won't leave it. And when you do leave it, you circle around and come back. Jesus said, if you're going with me, you got to go the way I'm going. And Jesus says, we ain't going back to no old stuff. That's what I told y'all this morning. Part of the reason why the choir in the shape it's in, because y'all carrying too much stuff. Y'all won't let go some stuff. Y'all need to lose some stuff. And some of y'all, your marriage will get better. Your relationship, you'll work better on your job. You're carrying around old feelings and wonder why you don't have no new feelings. You got too much scar tissue. And yet you talking about wanting to be healed, but you keep picking your souls. Loose it. Take the ribbon from your head. Shake it loose and let it fall. I'm not sure. Oh, that's the difference. I'm sorry. You gotta let it go. You are encumbered when you ought to be free. Here's what text says, whom the Lord set free is free indeed. You can't be free when you bound. And some of the stuff that you holding on to, you could have easily let it go. But you won't do it. You won't do it. You feel like that makes you, that identifies you. Listen, the only thing that you need to identify you is the blood of Jesus. See how quiet everybody is? You can't live yesterday and glory in today. Jesus told him, he said, what are you worried about? You worried about food? Your father knows you gotta eat. You worried about clothes? Your father knows you gotta wear clothes. Listen, I thank God for clothes. Looking at some of y'all, I thank him twice. I thank God that he knows how to supply my need. That's why I don't have to do crazy stuff to get blessed by God. And when God blesses me with some things, I need to bless somebody with some things. Lose it. Then leave. What is he saying? You got to decide what to lose. Here it is. Don't keep fooling yourself. Because we know. You do know we know. We see and hear and follow the Facebook page you got and see some of that stuff you put out there, some of the videos you can offer us a link to, and then we wind up with a virus on our phone following your link. We know what you into. Come on, talk to me. We watch you Snapchatting. All your pictures ain't fit for the big screen in the church. Some of your comments. Ooh, you raised the hair. Well, we ain't got no hair now. But you do something to us. Loose that. I you know what it made me? People who don't come to church always got scripture quotes. Like you running your own church. You can't even come to an organized church. How you gonna run your? You posting 50 times a day a scripture, and you don't even come to Bible study. You need to loose that Facebook thing. And you need to decide what to loose. And now I'm over my time, so I'll just work this last part of leaving, and I'll go. But you need to decide. Don't think we're going to wrestle you away from your habits. Jesus told him, he said, come on. If you're coming, you got to come. Here it is. Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, all them guys, they loose some stuff. Matthew loosed his tax booth. Peter loosed his fishing operation. See, God come and ask y'all to do little stuff like that. Y'all, I need my job. And then you try to make it deep by saying, well, if I don't have my job, I can't pay my tithe. You think God going to fall for that? First of all, what the Lord going to say is when you had the job, you wasn't paying your tithe. See how quiet y'all got right there? You need to decide, because while you trying to spend all that time fooling others, you really just fooling yourself. You are cross-connected, and it's confusing you and us too. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us you can't serve God and man. See, that's cross-connected. You got to loose some stuff. And deciding what to loose is a hard thing. Here's what Jesus said. If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. How many of you have ever fought and wrestled for something and ultimately lost it and felt used, worn out, tricked? You're like, why did I do all that? And that's, you got to let some stuff go. But you're going to decide what to lose. And don't think we're going to be able to look at you and go, oh, yeah, the Lord told me to tell you. Let me tell you something. I ain't got time to be telling you what the Lord told me to tell you because he keep telling me stuff about me. Nudge your neighbor and say, work on you first. You got to decide what to lose. I'm not going to condemn you because you drink. If you know you drink too much, drink less. You know you smoking what you ain't got no business smoking, stop smoking. You know you hanging out in places that make you spend all your money and then you can't pay your bills, stop going down there. Don't wait on me to bring you to the altar and say, oh, the Lord told me to tell you to drop your membership at phase two. I don't even know where phase two really is. Yeah, well I kind of know, but I ain't never been in there. Not to my recollection. If James Session can forget, I can too. Okay, that was political. But you got to decide. Here's the problem. Jesus says to them, if you coming with me, you can't bring all that stuff. Some of y'all sitting here right now, you're weighed down because you won't let go. You can't lift your hands because they're shackled by the necessities of life. I've asked people to serve. Pastor, I would, but I got this and I got that. They named 50, 11 things, that's 61, and God ain't in none of them. But yet the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Of whom? No, don't say that no more. Because if you have not surrendered, you're going to always struggle. And if you want to stop struggling, you're going to have to surrender. Okay, three of y'all thought about it. Jesus said, you got to decide. Notice what he does not do. He does not call a roll of sin. You ever notice that? Jesus does not say, okay, here are all the sins I'm dying for. People know sin. Everybody in here knows sin. Look how quiet everybody is. Jesus did not say, okay, here are the ones I ain't going to die for, and here are the ones I will. No, you know. And so you got to decide what you're going to lose. Then leave. Here, Jesus says, all right, come on. And here's the key point to leaving. Okay, loosen, you got to have a decision what you're going to lose. Here's the key point about leaving, and this is where I think everybody get messed up. When you decide to leave, there are two necessities to making a good leave. Can I give them to you? And I'll be done. I'll be done. I promise. What? Two things are necessary. Here's what for a good leave. For a good leave, you need two things. You need to have a direction and a destination. Otherwise, you just riding around the block. Okay, this side is getting better all the time. Sister Brody, you might have been right. This side here is something wrong. Don't move now. She moved. Y'all better hurry up. Be like Moses. Everybody on the Lord's side. Okay, listen to me now. I'm telling you. That's why some of us can't leave. We don't have no direction. Don't know which way we're going. And we don't know where we're going. Because let me tell you, I really am convinced, Marion, that there are people in church that don't believe in heaven. I'm serious. Some of y'all sitting here right now looking at me with that look on y'all face because I'm telling you now, you don't have no direction and you don't have no destiny. And God talks about that all the time. Here's why you don't have to worry about a direction if you go with him. Because you don't have to lead, you just follow. I mean, come on, how you get like, all right, let me show you how it is. How many of you have ever been in one of the little caravans that we hook up for the family reunion or the King Dominion trip, and you say, just follow us? Okay, y'all get in the lead car, you know, and say, just follow us. And they say, okay, we don't follow y'all. Say, because we don't know where we're going. All right, we done been this way. And you get down the road, and it starts out all right. But then it happens. Sense of, oh, I've been this way. Now I know. Oh, I got this. And next thing you do, you look in your little side mirror, and here they come. And you say, is that Lewis passing us? And then they get beside you and do like everybody do, and they pass you. And you say, and down the road they go. And your wife always said, they know where they're going? I thought they was following them. You say, but they was. Let's just see how this goes. And what happens? And what happens when the people who were following you get lost? It required that you now get lost to unlost the lost. This is why Jesus don't chase people. Because Jesus is pretty sure about where he's going. And if you think you're going to outrun him because you got this, I've been in the church 20 years. I don't need, go ahead, honey, with your bad self. I'm staying behind Jesus. Because Jesus knows where he's going and he knows how to get there. All right, and so you Jesus said, if you want to be with me, now here it is, Rudy. This ain't no suggestion. This is a question. There's a difference between Jesus asking a suggestion or making. He said, if you want to be with me, you got to follow me.
Yeah,
that's your direction. Yeah. Follow, and then the destination is heaven.
Yeah,
here it is. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Uh-huh.
Because where I am, see, Jesus is proving I can get here. And you do know that when folk prove they can get there, it might be pretty good idea that they can show you how to get there too. You got to have a destiny. Jesus says, I am the way. Oh, some of y'all been to Bible study. Surrendered life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and. All right, so your direction, follow. Your destination, heaven. Everybody talking about heaven. Why? Because they ain't going the right direction.
Right.
Here it is. Jesus says, if you're looking for a destination, I'm your direction. Here it is. I'm done. I'm going to stop. Here it is, Yvette. He says, nobody comes to the Father.
But.
Now, here it is. See, here's the issue. This is why people struggle, Eric, in the church. Because some of y'all don't know where the Father is. Some of y'all, here's what Paul said. Paul said, now don't get confused when people start telling you the Lord is over here and the Lord is over there. Don't be running behind that. Stay focused.
Come on, Pastor.
Stay with what got you here. So no man comes to the Father except by me. Boom. That's my direction.
Yes.
That's my destination. That is my commitment. Because what I left can't get me there.
Right.
What I loosed couldn't get me there. I decided to make Jesus my choice. No turning back.
Yes.
Here it is. If you're looking for a destination, first you got to find the direction.
Yes.
It's Jesus. It's right in the text. He said, if you really want to do this, you got to come with me.
That's right.
Not your mama. Mm-hmm. Not your grandma. They're not good people. They really are. But heaven, if I was on, what's that show you used to come on? I'm done. Got to go. What's that thing you used to come on? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yeah.
And they would do the Lifeline. Uh-huh. I think you had three different options. You can call a friend, Lifeline. Well, ask the audience, which was always a bad idea. So here's my point. I'm done. I'll give the other two next week. Lord said, if I was on that show and they asked me, do I want to go to heaven?
Uh-huh.
My immediate answer, with nobody helping me, would be yes. Now, see, here we are, Mrs. Scott. We're in church. It's time to go. I can ask that question right on through here. And not everybody is going to say yes. Some of y'all are going to sit here and say, well, the Lord, no. No, I asked the question. And Jesus just asked the question. See, here it is. Jesus is constantly making us speak our desires. Because as a man or woman thinks, so he is. Some of y'all ain't said nothing about where you want to go. Ain't going to miss your destination. Because you think just because you're sitting up in here, we all assume you want to go to heaven. No, I want to know who want to go. And you ought to be able to say that for yourself. And you ought to say it without a whole lot of help. The choir shouldn't have to help you. The preacher shouldn't have to help you. The ambiance of the room shouldn't. You ought to know that the reason I have surrendered is because I made up my mind I want to go to heaven. And the only way I can get to heaven is in Christ Jesus. Then that's my choice. So it is, he says, okay, if you won't do that. And the crowd, we don't get no answer from them right there. But there are probably people sitting right here, and here's my last description. This is my final help for the moment. When you start loosing and leaving, there are two things you need to understand. Closets are made to store things. Cemeteries are to surrender things. You need to decide whether you're going to have a closet in your life or a cemetery. Because a cemetery, when you leave it there, it's done. In a closet, you can go back and get it. And there are too many closet Christians who ought to be investing in cemeteries. See how y'all think about that? If you loose it and leave it, closet, cemetery. When I put stuff in the Lord's hand, that's a cemetery. I'm done. And don't be around folk who won't let you stay done. Don't be around folk who always trying to get you to reclaim what you loosed. Stay out of your closets. Storing up stuff. That's why you got wrinkle conditions now. Too much in there. Some of y'all ought to go home and purge your spiritual closets. Jesus said, if you come with me, you don't need to bring all that stuff. You know, we laugh when talking about people dying in the U-Haul and all that kind of stuff. No, that's real. When you die, you know what you're taking out of this world? Nothing. Don't you see the example Jesus is trying to show you? You don't need to be encumbered by nothing. Because you ain't going to have to carry nothing. Jesus reminds him. He said, okay, if you really want this, you got to make a decision. Now, the first and final answer is, I want to go to heaven. If, in fact, the only way to get there is Christ Jesus, I surrender. I give up. I really think you ought to decide today whether you're going to just say you surrendered or show that you've surrendered. Jesus knows the difference between a vocalization and a reality. Whole lot of folk talk that talk. So it is. I'm done. You need to decide. Next week, Lord said the same. Come back. I'll tell you about listening and learning. And then I'll hurry my way on to love and loyalty, because I really want to get to that. Amen. I've taken up enough of your time. Did you help yourself along through that? I'm serious. No. Don't try to fool me. I'm serious. Two little things you got to do. This is a phase of deliverance. You really need to lose some stuff and leave. You guys are hanging around all of the wrong people. And you are not going to make it circling the block. Some of us are creatures of habits, and they're bad habits. That's why people can't come to church every Sunday. We're tending to too many other things. This is the Lord's Day. You know, there was a time, and I saw this last week. Young, you can stand up. We're getting ready to go. There was a time when businesses closed on Sunday. I mean, business, everybody, grocery store, everybody, they close in reverence to God. I was coming home from church last Sunday down in Duval County, Jacksonville, where I live. You know what's open on Sunday now? The liquor store. I looked at my cousin. I said, they open? He looked at me and said, yeah. And you know what the statistics prove? They sell more liquor on Sunday. That's crazy. Then any other day except Friday and Saturday. Monday through Thursday, liquor store, Sunday got them beat. I said to myself, so that's what drunk on new wine looked like. There was a line of cars. We have drive-thrus down home. There was a line of cars in the drive-thru. I told my cousin, I said, wasn't that many cars in the church parking lot. I'm serious. Y'all laughing. People, you ain't going to get delivered circling the block. Down home, since they got their football team, churches have altered their worship services on the Sunday that the Jaguars play at home. The Jaguars were 3-13 last year. They didn't even win a home game. They sold out every home game last year. Now, here's a kick for y'all right here. What's the population of Lynchburg, Sister Price, at the last census? 65. You know how many people fit in Everbank Stadium? 78,000. It's more folk there at a football game than we got in the whole city. And they're never ever concerned about attendance. Churches have altered their worship because folk leave. Now watch this. Now here's the kicker. I'm done. The game into 1 o'clock. You know why they leaving? Yeah, you do. Who said it? Why they leaving? Tailgate. You know that liquor store line? There it is. They got mobile trailers, RVs in the park. Now, why you going to leave the Lord's house to go to a football game of a losing team that can't get you to heaven, can't help you when you're sick, can't bring your children out of training? Y'all don't see it? But yet they surrendered. No, we ain't surrendered. We playing a dangerous game. Around this room is some folk playing a dangerous game. You won't loose it, and you won't leave it. But you better make a choice. I'm going to leave here in a few minutes. I'm going to find me something to eat. I ain't lost nothing. Go home eventually. I like racing, race beyond. I ain't going to make it back in time, but guess what? I got a DVR. Ain't nothing else in my life more important than this little time we spent together. And I ain't unhappy about it. I know some of y'all right now having a fit. He kept saying we were going. I told y'all, black preachers have to say it at least 5 times. Keep our grace card in order. But isn't this why we came? Didn't we come to hear a word? Didn't we come to get inspired? Didn't we come to correct some bad behavior? Didn't we want God to put that light of examination on us and make us look at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, thank you. You go in the doctor's office. You don't want the doctor to say, oh, you're doing fine. You're looking well. And you overweight. You got diabetes. You got high blood. You don't want him to not tell you the truth. I come so that when God looks on me, he can tell me, now, Leroy, here's what you need to do now. Okay, you're doing all right on that part. Now let's work on this part. Because I know I'm a work in progress. I'd love to be perfect so I can shine it in y'all face, but I ain't. So when I come, I preached to me last night. 5:30, I'm still sitting there going, no, add that. No, take that out. Because sometimes when I say stuff, it hits me. I go, ooh. I got to lose some stuff. I got to leave some stuff. And I can't help you till I help me. So I'm going to help me. Closets or cemetery, you decide. You can either keep storing it and keep going there and get it, or you can bury it and walk away from it. And nobody trolls a cemetery. Ain't no lost and found out there. You got to surrender. If you really want to be his follower, then we'll talk some more next week. Because the next thing he said, now I'm going to help you with this one. When you're learning, when you're listening, there has to be a certain dynamic that comes as a byproduct of learning and listening. And that dynamic doesn't show up. You ain't learned nothing. You ain't listening either. We'll talk about it next time. If you're in this room today, God bless you today. I did the survey a little while ago, Addison, and we were at 93.2%. But if you haven't surrendered to Christ, I really wouldn't step back out on Florida Avenue. It's risky. Because you may be required of the Lord today. You can be healthy and die. You can drop dead healthy. Nothing wrong with you. Everybody's sick, don't die. And everybody's healthy, don't live forever. You can be sitting in the restaurant eating a salad and drop dead healthy. But the Lord is going to ask you one question. Did you accept my son? That's all you're going to have to answer. You ain't going to have to worry about a whole lot of rigmarole. And I'm just saying today, before you leave today, before you walk out that door, you ought to be surrendered. Are you perfect? Nah. No, nobody's perfect. Don't let nobody fool you. Folk who walk around to my, they don't smoke, they don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't hang out late. And you boring. You is boring. Us church folk, we got it better than that. Because we know how to have a good time. We know how to laugh. See how y'all laugh right along through there? They see some of y'all real highfalutin, highfalutin. No, I know how to, I enjoy laughing. Because if I wasn't laughing, I'd had a heart attack a long time ago. I laugh at everything. But I tell you this, God ain't never said, don't you laugh. Amen. God ain't never told me not to have fun. You know, so I enjoy the Lord. But let me give you this. Don't walk out there or that way, whichever way you go, and not be surrendered. Because it's too easy. It's really too easy. It's not we're not one of those complicated churches where we're going to do a background check and you got to sit on the mourner's bench and all that. We really kind of would take anybody in the care of the Lord. Because we can't save you. We really can't. So if you're here today and you've not surrendered, you in that percentage of folk who didn't vote, then I'll offer you an opportunity today to make a decision to be surrendered. God loves you too much for you to live like that. Outside the ark of safety, that's what the old folk used to say. Come on in. Let the Lord do it. Just for you. And everybody's cool and nobody needs to make any changes, no adjustments are made. Can we at least pray for you and with you? But whatever you might need today, it's in Christ Jesus. Just bring it, leave it. There may be some loose that need to go on in your life right along through here. We'll be done. You can go. But maybe you just want to be the one today that can let some stuff go so God can bless you unencumbered. Turn it over to the Lord and he'll work it out. God is a fixer. That's why the redeemed of the Lord can always say so. Because God has fixed this and that and
that and that. God will do it all if you let him. You can't wrestle and come out a winner if you're wrestling God. You can prevail with men sometimes, but I'd rather turn it over to God. I've got some loose items in my life, and I'm glad to let the Lord have them. Got some things I had to leave, and some people, and some places. But I do trust that God has a better option for me. Sometimes that's what we're worried about, Jess. We're worried about, but if I give this up, what am I going to have more? You will never be in a deficit with God when you give up stuff. No. Here's what he said. He says, none of you that have left mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers will come up short in the kingdom. Nobody. You will never come up short if you give up things, better yet, when you give up things for the kingdom. We're in the season of Lent. Typical Baptist folk don't say a whole lot about it, but I thought I'd mention it. Started Wednesday, you know, and you ought to give up something. Now, I know you're not, you know, Catholics and that kind of thing, AME and all that. But really, you ought to give up something. You don't have to put on sackcloth and ashes. You don't have to go down and buy no ashes and none of that ceremonial stuff. Because, see, I told you before, a lot of that ceremonial stuff just get in the way. Just from your heart, decide, you know what, Lord, for these next days, these next 40 days, here's what I'm not going to do. Here's what I'm going to do when I'm not. See, whenever you take away something, you need to give yourself a better something. That way you don't fall into grandma's definition of an idle mind becoming the devil's workshop. So if you're going to give up smoking, drinking, blah, 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 give yourself more reading time. You know, say, well, Lord, I'm going to stop. You know, if on Friday night you've been going to bingo, then find something else to do on a Friday night. Don't just think you're going to sit around the house, because you know what's going to happen? Your mind going to start wandering. And you're going to be keeping track with stuff. Going, well, you know, right now they on card number 5. Oh, Shirley probably gonna hit once, twice. See, give yourself something else to do. Be productive. Don't be idle. You know, you used to go into the club or whatever that is. Find you something else to do. And don't do it by yourself. Get you a partner and say, listen, I'm trying to get myself out of such and such. And you say, ooh, me too. And let's find us something else to do on Friday. And don't find nothing too hard, because you ain't going to keep it up. Have some fun. If you've been having fun on Friday, keep having fun on Friday. But find a better kind of fun. Amen. That's why when people start smoking, they give you that patch. They know that nicotine is it. That's why they give you them little patches. And you get a big patch and another patch, and they wean you off of it. You want to be successful, you got to gradually depart. Because many of us are not capable of a clean break. We really aren't. Okay? So now you're standing in this place, and surrender is the option. But also remember that when you have surrendered to God, he's got something more. That's why he says you won't lack for any good thing. So trust God in your heart today. Whatever things you want to lose, whatever things you need to leave, whatever things you find yourself attracted to that will glorify God, say, Lord, make me stronger in that. You're trying to make a change to the glory of God, say, Lord, give me the strength for that. Trying to make 100, so give me the wherewithal to run this race. You can't run without training. You can't make it. So ask God. And he says, if you ask me, I won't deny. All over this room, answers are coming. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. These people have been very patient today, and some a little impatient, but they hung in there. Some of your children couldn't wait for the benediction, and they've gone already. But, Lord, there's a blessing in that benediction. If I can hang around 5 more minutes, I can get 5 more blessings. So, God, these children today, and that's what we are, just children, just sheep. We sure enough need to be more consistent. more committed. We need the power to do it. And so, God, we're going to lose some things. We're not going to tell anybody, because some things we tell folks seem to come back on us. So we're just going to talk to you about it. And then we need to leave some places. Not all of them are physical. Some of them are spiritual. Some of them, Lord, are just in our minds. But we need your help. You're a very present help. And so, God, we need your help, because we really want to be surrendered. We want to be able to show forth the fruits of our repentance, show forth our salvation. And I need to go, Lord. I really need to make a break from some of the stuff that just weighs me down. My mind is cluttered and my activities are all off the agenda. So I'm going to need some help. Straightway, that I might follow in the way. Anything unlike you, take it away. Because I've had a hard time letting it go, so I'm really going to have to surrender to the fact that you're going to have to take some things. You're going to have to take some things. You're going to have to block my way. You're going to have to give me a new course, new path. I tried it by myself and didn't work out too well. But Lord, thank you for letting me try. So God, I need your help now in a more intensified way. I really want to loose, and I really want to leave so that I can be the disciple you called me to be. I'm standing here without shame. I'm standing here naked before you, an empty vessel needing to be filled. And Lord, if you can use anybody, I know you can use me. So Lord, if you want me to sing, I'll sing. If you want me to stand on the door, I'll stand on the door. You want me to visit the sick, teach the young, encourage. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I've been afraid before. I've been hesitant. I was really looking for the easy assignment. But Lord, if it's going to be complex, you'll give me the wherewithal to get through the complexities. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. And Lord, I believe. I believe I can be a better person. I can be better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter. I just believe I can be better. And I know you can do that in me. Let old things pass away and make all things new. I surrender. Forgive me, Lord, of my former sins and have mercy on me. I'll admit, God, I didn't always get it right. I tried. I really did. And I pray, God, that you will help me, as we said to the Wednesday crowd, to operate in power, love, and self-discipline. Give me the power, teach me how to love, and help me to keep myself straight. It ain't nobody else's fault. It ain't my husband's fault, my wife's fault. It ain't my children's fault. It ain't the person that pushed my buttons. I've got to do it myself. And with the help of the Lord, I can be a better disciplined person. I won't be flying off the handle. I won't be losing it. I'll be very guarded in my demeanor. In fact, Lord, I'm going to let my light shine so that when men see, they'll glorify my Father which is in heaven. Folk going to be looking at me saying, oh, you sure enough have changed. And I'm just going to smile in humility and say thank you. And I'll tell them I still got work to do. Don't brag on me yet. I'm just a work in progress. But Lord, I'm going to do it. I've got 2 months and a few days under my belt. In 2017, it's further than I thought I'd go. And on this fifth day of March, I'm making up my mind. I surrender. Now, Lord, turn me from this place, but never your presence. There are things I must yet do, the fullness of this day. And I pray, God, for your power. Pray, God, for your love. And I pray I'll be self-disciplined. In Jesus' name. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. And for those of you who were, it's 12:30 Central Time. Amen.